Mishnah tells us at the end of Maseches Megillah that Chazal instituted that the several Shabbosos during the year that we have to read special Kriyas HaTorahs, the Arba Parshiyos. So the Mishnah speaks about the Parshiyos of Shkolim, Zohar, Parah, and Achodesh. And so, of course, the first one is coming up this week. So these Kriyas HaTorahs, the Pasha Pshat is, this is all Din Midrabanan. The entire Kriyas HaTorahs most probably all Midrabanan. There is a Ritvan, based on a Ramban and a Torah, that seems to say that Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos and Yontif, the idea that you come together and you have a Mikra Kodesh and you're laying together public, so that may be a Din Midaraisa. To lane specific parshias, that's for sure, at most only Midrabanan, even that Ramban and Ritvan not agreed upon by everybody. But so to lay in these particular parshas, this is part of the Tachanas HaChomim, that there are certain times of the year, you lay in Rosh Chodesh, you lay in Purim, and Chanukah, you lay in these Dalai parshas. So the Chorah, there's no connection to these Dalai parshas, to any mitzvah deraisa whatsoever. Nevertheless, there is a Tosus that appears in Maseches Brachas, and appears in Maseches Megillah. The Tosus makes a tremendous jump. The Tosus says that, no, that one of these Dalai parshas, at least one of them, may actually be rooted in a mitzvah deraisa. Which one? Obviously, Parsha Zohar. So Tosus makes reference to the Gemara in the Sechem Brachas Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara dashens in the Pasuk that the Zohar is a Shesolcha Molek, or Sishkach. So the Gemara says that Lotishkach, that refers to Balev. So what does Zohar mean? So Zohar refers to Peh. Like we find, for example, by other mitzvahs of Zechira, by Kiddush and Tzias Mitzrayim, whenever the Torah speaks about a mitzvah of Zechira, so it always refers to Bepeh, according to many, this is actually the Mochor. How do you know that Zohar means Bepeh? How do you know you have to make Kiddush by saying the words? Maybe Zohar Sim Shabbos just means to sit around and think about Kiddush. How do you know that you have to say Tzias Mitzrayim every day, Laman Tizkor? Maybe it means you just have to think about it. So according to many, this is the source, that since the Torah says, Lagabi Zechira Samolek, Tishkach, so we already know there's a din of Shichas Alev, Kos Medamer, so it must be that Zohar, it's coming to be mechadesh, an additional mitzvah samira, and it could be that we have some kind of tradition, some kind of zeirah shava, something that derives all the zechiras mehadadi. So when it comes to the mitzvah zechiras amalek, everybody agrees it has to be prepared. So Taisus makes a tremendous jump. Taisus says, we find there's a Mishnah in Megillah that speaks about Dalai Parshas, and one of the Dalai Parshas is zechiras amalek, and we know there's a mitzvah deraisa of zechiras amalek. It must be that when we lay in Parshas Zohar, that's the way we fulfill the annual obligation of Zechiras HaMalek. That's what Taisus says in Brachas and Megillah. So other Rishonim say, Kemrech and Mizrach Lemarim, don't do each other. There's a mitzvah deraisa of Zechiras HaMalek. How often do you perform that mitzvah? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Every day, once in a lifetime, once in 6 months, I don't know. We're not sure what the shiur of the mitzvah is. And then there's a din midrabanan. You have to lay in Parshas Zohar. Why did they institute Parshas Zohar? Because it's Samach L'Purim. So the same way they instituted Shkolim because of Shkolim, and Parah because of Pesach, and Chesh because of Pesach. So Chazal instituted Zohar before Purim because it's Shaykh to Purim. But that's nothing to do with the mitzvah deraisa. It's Chiris HaMalek. So this is a major machlokes of Rishonim. So the one who disagrees with the Balei Tos is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, when he quotes the mitzvah deraisa of Zechiris HaMalek, the Rambam doesn't make any mention whatsoever, any shaykh, any connection between this and the Dalai Parshiyos. And forget, the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Zechiris HaMalek doesn't have a time, doesn't have a Zman Musuyam. It's all the time, the Rambam writes. Whenever you get around to talking about, come on, right now we're talking about HaMalek. According to the Rambam, you'd say the mitzvah deraisa of Zechiris HaMalek. According to the Rambam, it has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah, nothing to do with the Shul, nothing to do with Aminyan, nothing to do with Davening, nothing to do with Purim, no, nothing. Any time in the middle of July, a guy gets up and starts telling over the story about what happened with HaMalek. So that's the mitzvah deraisa of Zechiris HaMalek. So Taisus understood, no, that the mitzvah of Zechiris HaMalek has a very, very specific tzura to it. It's an annual mitzvah, apparently. And it somehow has to be performed mitach ksav. It has to be performed mitach sefer Torah. Some even go as far as to say maybe it needs a minion. Maybe it needs a minion. That's lagamri, a different mitzvah. So how do we pask in that loch? Do we pask in that Parsha Zohar is a deraisa? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes Taisus. Shulchan Aruch writes that, quotes Taisus in the Rosh, that we assume that Parsha Zohar is a potential chiv of mitzvah deraisa. And that's why the Ramo writes that you have to be careful, that you have to make sure to come to shul Parshas Zohar. It means if you miss shul every other week and you're far away, you're too far from the shul, can't make it to Minyan. Okay, so you lost out the mitzvah derabanan of a davening Minyan. We lost out Kriyas HaTorah. But if you miss Parshas Zohar, that's a disaster. So if you have to pick a Shabbos of the year to be in shul, to come to the city where there's a shul, so you should pick Parshas Zohar. That's a real bona fide mitzvah deraisa. Then there's one opinion in Tosfos, that one Gerson Tosfos, that says that so too Parshas Parah is also a mitzvah deraisa. So that's an enigma. No one really knows where that comes from, that line in Tosfos, that Parshas Parah is also deraisa. Bishlama Parsha Zohar, even that we're not sure that Taiz is right, but that at least we can understand that maybe there's some kind of deraisa based on Zechir Samolik. Vishtei, you have to learn Parsha's Parim in Torah. So there are different approaches to this dilemma in Taiz. So the Samach Redim will give an answer that it's a part of the mitzvah of Zechiris Maisa Egel, and it's a part of the mitzvah of this, but they'll dig up a mitzvah, they'll track it down to some kind of a mitzvah the Parsha's Parah is connected to. And the Vilna Gaon writes that he thinks the whole thing is was a mistake. The whole thing was a Tosef. The Bir Agor writes in Arachayim that there never was such a shita, that Parsha's Parah was never there, right? Parsha's Parah is only a mitzvah. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both Parsha's Parah and Parsha's Zohar in the same breath. So, might have come in. At the end of the day, we come to Shul. Baruch Hashem, we come to Shul. We come for Shul for Kriyas HaTorah. We come for Shul for Dal Parshas. We come for Shul for Parshas Zohar. So, is any nafkamin ladina? The Parshas Zohar is a real potential mitzvah midaraisa. So, there are a few possible nafkaminas that are floating around. So, let's say a person can't make it to Shul. Might say a guy can't make it to Shul Parshas Zohar. So, what should he do? So if he can't make it to shul on a regular Shabbos, well, he misses Kriyas HaTorah. So let him learn the Chumash and Baba Sedra. Well, it's not going to come to an end. But if he misses Parsha Zohar, so if you all like the Rambam, that there's no Parsha Zohar there, actually just talk about HaMolech whenever you want. So good. But according to Taizen the Rosh and Shulchan Aruch, that somehow there's an annual obligation with the Sefer Torah, with the whole 9 yards. So what could the person possibly do? So the Magen Avraham has a suggestion. The Magen Avraham says that if he can't make it to shul for Shabbos, he should at least make it to shul on Purim. If he comes to shul Purim morning, so he's going to hear Vayavah Amalek, the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim is Vayavah Amalek. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah. And you could be Yaitse, Zechiris Amalek, with Vayavah Amalek. It doesn't say in the Chumash, you have to say Dafke, the Psukim of Pashat Kiseitse. You can say the Psukim of Bishalav. That's also good enough, says the Magen Avraham. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Magen Avraham and disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He says he doesn't think the Magen Avraham necessarily is correct. He says there's a big difference between the Psukim of Pashat Kiseitse and the Psukim of Pashat Bishalach. The Psukim of Kiseitse not only talk about the Maisa Amalek, but they actually tell us what we're supposed to do about Amalek. It says Timcha Zechar Amalek. Whereas the Psukim in Parshas Bishalach just tell the story. Amalek came, they attacked. Yeshua fought a war against them. And sure, you might end the story. It doesn't connect to the fact that we're supposed to do anything about it in the future. So Mishnah Berurah says he thinks that the simple reading of the Psukim in Parshas Kiseitse that are the source for Zechiris Amalek ben HaTorah, it's not enough just to tell the story of Yehovah Amalek, Ve'eloch Mizor V'feed them. You have to get to the punchline. The point of Zechiris Amalek is to get to the point of Mechamis Amalek. So he's not so sure that you would be Yaitse the Mitzvah. He's not 100% sure. So according to that Mishnah Berurah, what other option would be available for him? So that he would have to follow what the Ramah himself writes. The Ramah writes, if a guy can't come to Shul Parshas Zohar, let him at least read it in the Chumash. So the idea that you need a Sefer Torah is not so poshut. So the Chetchili should try to get a Chumash Shul here from the Sefer Torah. But push comes to shove, you can't get a Sefer Torah. So you're laying from a Chumash. Those lines say you're laying it from a Chumash. So maybe according to some Yaitse. So we would probably recommend the person who missed Parshas Zohar to do multiple things if he can. If you try to come to Shul poor morning, you can't. At least according to the Magen Avraham would be Yaitse. And he should try to lay it on his own also, that way, at least according to the Ramah, I'd say. So again, this is all assuming that the mitzvah exists. There is a famous question that is raised by the Sefer Chinuch about whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of a Zechiris HaMalek. So if you hold that Parsha Zohar is nothing to do with Zechiris HaMalek, it's just part of the regular Tekhanas Chom Kriyas HaTorah, so this is part of the general question of women Chayavas and Kriyas HaTorah. It's Tachan HaMogon Avram Paskins, women Chayavas and Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos. But most women don't do that. Most women don't come to Shul every Shabbos. So according to the non-Mogon Avram people, so there's no real rush to come to Shul Parsha Zohar either if you hold that she's Ptura. So Sefer Chinuch writes Be'atzmai, doesn't really rise. He writes Be'atzmai that women are Pturos in the mitzvah of Zechiris Amalek. Why are they Pturos in the mitzvah of Zechiris Amalek? So he says, because Zechiris Amalek is a lead up to Mechamis Amalek, and clearly women are Pturos from Mechamis Amalek, because women generally are not Pinos Mechama, they don't participate actively in the Mechama. So since women don't participate in the Mechama, so then they're not Chayavis in Zechiris Amalek as well. So because Chinuch asked the Kasha against the Chinuch, how did the Chinuch know that these two mitzvahs are totally bizarre? Maybe there are two different mitzvahs in the minhag mitzvahs. One is Zechiris HaMalek, one is Mechamis HaMalek. So it could be that women are Pturos from Mechama, but they're still Chayavis in Zechira. So Mechazik is not sure whether Sefer Chinuch is right or not. So how do we paskin l'halacha? Different opinions of the contemporary paskin. So the Chazanish's opinion was that he thinks women are Pturos from Parshas Zohar. And Elohi Yudvamiyam, they're never Chayavis in Parshas Zohar. Sefer Chinuch is correct. That was probably the minhag in Europe. I didn't live in Poland in the 1700s, but my guess was that the women weren't running on master shul like they do today at Parshas Zohar. So they were probably relying on the fact that Elohi Yudvamiyam, the women were never Chayavis in the mitzvot together. In America, it's become a much more big thing. So So Moshe held this way, others held this way, that no, we should try to be chayshish, that women may be chayavas in Parshas Zachor. So we encourage the women to come to shul in Parshas Zachor. Let's say the women can't come in time to take care of the kids. So that's why many shuls today have a second lading in Parshas Zachor afterwards. You can't make a bracha on that, but you can just kind of say the Torah and lay in Parshas Zachor. So there are some shuls that do that. Other shuls don't like to do that, but some shuls have that practice. Within those shuls that have that practice, then there's a further breakdown. Some insist that there should be a minion of men present for the Kriyas HaTorah, and others say it's not necessary. Where did that come from? So the Truma Sadeshin has a diuk from a Rosh. He claims that the Rosh holds that if you need a Sefer Torah for Parshas Zohar, it has to be in the context of a minion as well. That's why Mamshah Dimid Araisa. And the Mishnah Berurah says he's not so sure the Rosh ever said that. He's not sure the whole din is true. So there's like Chumazagabachumazagabachum. So this has become like the state of the minion in many communities in America today. That the women come after davening for Parshas Zohar, which is again, a Chiddush Agabi Chiddush Agabi Chiddush. First of all, according to Ram, Lohayot Vamiyom. There's no mitzvah to hear Parshas Zohar altogether. No more than any other Christian Torah. And even Al Atzah, there is such a mitzvah. Women are Kenzai the Peturos. And even the Chayavas, who says you need a Sefer Torah, who says you need a minion. These are three, four chumras that lumped on top of each other. But some of this has become part of the last 40 years has become like a standard practice. Although, trust me, in Europe, this wasn't happening. Women were not falling into shul if the davening was over to hear Parshas Zohar. Kach Nogu in the last generation or two, so it's, it makes there is a halachic basis for this practice. I thought that one could argue that let's say a woman didn't hear Parshas Zohar on Shabbos, so I think a woman l'chola days can suffice with Parshas V'yavei Amalek because it's a little bit of a mevorach shach. The machlokes the chinuch and the mechas chinuch is basically the same machlokes the Rambam and the Mishnah Berurah. Is the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek linked to Bechamas Amalek, or are they really two separate mitzvahs? So if you hold that they're linked to one another, so then we're going to give you pturos, because the pturos are mechamas amalek. If you hold that they're not linked to one another, so mechamas amalek, the Mishnah Berurah should be right, you have to read mechamas amalek, what do you have to say, timcha zecher amalek for? It's a separate mitzvah, so I told over the ma'aseh amalek, but I have to relate to the mechamas for, so I read v'yavei amalek, it's good enough. So the phineas deity, if a woman hears v'yavei amalek, and has a mind to be yetzei, we tell the Bakari, have a mind to be yetzei, anybody, whoever hasn't made it to shul. So if a woman comes to shul for a month, she has to have a malik. The fear is night, I think she's covered on all bases. I think the Mamon of Shach, she would be okay. This idea that Tosfos develops, that Parshas Zohar is a mitzvah derives once a year. Where in the world did that shiur come from? V'shteit anywhere once a year in the Chumash. So there's a famous bar for the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes, it's based on what the Gemara says, Shir Shechiyad Beis Chaydish. The Gemara says, the end of my katan, that the reason why a person observes a year of Avelus for a parent is because, since a person still remembers things very, very strong, people have faint memories. Look, you also remember things from 30 years ago, but the person's memory is very, very sharp, very fresh within the first year. And therefore, it would be disrespectful to the parent. He has the memory of his parent in front of his eyes, and he's still dancing at weddings. That's not right. So after a year is over, the memory of the parent is not so fresh anymore, so then it's not considered to be a lack of kibbutz of aim to go to base mishnas. So the Chassam Sofer writes that shir shechiyad beis chodesh is the way Chazal figured this out. When Tosfos claims Chazal figured out that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is once a year, because the Torah says lo tishkach, the mitzvah of Zechira, make sure to remember it so that you don't forget it. So the Torah is saying if you have to redo it, you have to chaz it off once a year. If you remember it every year, so then you'll be sure that you won't forget it in the for that year. So it's based on this that there are two different versions of what the Chassam Sofer said. So there's one version that the Chassam Sofer said, therefore, let's say more than a year is going to elapse between last year's Parshas Zohar and this year's Parshas Zohar. It's a Shana Mubaris. So if you have a Shana Mubaris, you can end up with 13 months. So says the Chassam Sofer, so you should have in mind, with the lame Parshas Yetzei, that you'll be Yetzei Parshas Zohar, because you don't want so much time to elapse of a full 30 months. It's already a month into the Shir Shichra, so that's not a good idea. So there's one version of Chassam Sofer that says that when you have a Shana Mubaris, you should remind the Tzibur, the Baal Chavishit, they should get up and announce that we should have in mind to be Yetzei the Mitzvah of Zechiris Amalek in the beginning of September when you're laying Parshas Kisei, not that you should have a passing of more than 12 months. And others never heard of such a thing. Others said, come on, Shir Shichra, exactly to the, it's close enough. It's good enough for the purposes of Parshas Zohar. So yesh, some shuls make a whole fuss out of it. That the rabbi gets up and makes his annual, his every 2-3 year announcement. I want you to remember. So you got to remember this coming year is going to be Shalom Baruch or things. So you got to remember this coming Parshas Kisei to make the announcement. So you say, come on, there's no need to make the announcement. The world's not going to come to an end. Are there any other nafkaminas from this idea that Parshas Zohar may be the rice? I'm not even sure it's the rice, but there may be a derais. Huh? So there is a famous chumra that many shuls try to follow today, and that's in terms of who the Balkeri should be for Parshas Zohar. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that when a boy turns the age of 13, so we assume that he's already bar mitzvah. Even though there are two halachas that have to be met for someone to be the bar mitzvah. Number one, you have to have shanim, you have to be 13 years old, and you have to have simanim. It's halach mashim. You have to develop beis cyrus in that area, which are indicative of physical maturity. If you have both of those things, shanim and simanim, so then the person is bar mitzvah. Let's say for a girl, so you need 12 years and beis cyrus. Those are dinim midaraisa. So Gemara says, when you have a 13-year-old boy, how do we even know that he's really bar mitzvah? How do you know that a 12-year-old girl is really bas mitzvah? Who says she has Cyrus? So Gemara says, Chazoka Shavia Simon. Chazoka the Rav. Most likely that she, the Ruba is that they've already developed a little bit physically at that point, and we can assume every 13-year-old boy is most probably bar mitzvah, and every 12-year-old girl is most probably bas mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Afal Pichain, we don't want to rely on this Lagabe certain dinim. Let's say Lagabe Chalitza. So when we do a Chalitza, you have to make sure that the boy is an Ish, that the girl is an Isha. So you can't do a Chalitza with a 12-and-a-half-year-old boy. So let's say you have a 13-year-old boy, he just turned by mitzvah last week, and it's his turn to do it. He's the only one to do chalitza now. Or you have a 12-year-old girl, she was married off by a father, and her husband died, whatever, so she needs chalitza, so you have to wait till she's 12. So the Gemara says that bodkin lechalitza, that for chalitza purposes, you have to check. You can't rely on the chazaka. Why not? What's wrong with the chazaka? So many achbarim write, it's a chumah midrabanan. It means midaraisa. It's a rubah, that is good. But it's a chumah midrabanan. You shouldn't rely on the simanim. We rely on simanim for other dinim, not for chalitza. So that was a machlekes at poskim. What does that mean exactly? What was this chumra that you're not supposed to rely on the rov and the chazaka for chalitza? So some said this was a special chumra, but chalitza is a shalif, and kirei is a shalif, isha. So these are very, very serious, Ebenezer is a very serious area of halacha. And others said, no, it's across the board for all their isas. Whenever you have any din der isa, so we shouldn't rely on the chazaka der rava, legabe dinim der isa. Legabe any chashash with der isa, we should always check first. So that's how we assume halacha. That's what the poskim had in our archai, and we assume like the second group of poskim that whenever there's a shavu deraisa, we should rely on the kid just turning 13. So for that reason, let's say the 13-year-old boy just turned by mitzvah last week shouldn't be the baltekei in shul because that's a mitzvah deraisa. He has to be mitzvah the rami dechavas, so he shouldn't be the baltekei. Let's say he shouldn't be writing a sefer Torah tefillah mezuzos because you have to be over by mitzvah to be a sofer. That's what the Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Tefillin reminds us. He says that a lot of sofrim have like apprentices. They had like teenage boys who were learning how to be sofrim. So they were training them. So the Mishnah Berurah says you have to be very careful. You're training a little 13-year-old kid who says that he's really bar mitzvah. Maybe he shouldn't be the one to filling in the letters. He should be the one to doing whatever Avedis says has to be done. It's Ma'aka Min HaTorah. So that has to be done by someone who's a Bar Kshira, someone who's a Gadol. So you have to be careful about some of these things. So, but when it comes to mitzvahs the Rabbanan, so then you're allowed to rely on what the Gemara says. Look, Gabi Dinim the Rabbanan, Chazal said you could just rely on the Iker Hadin. So 99% of the time when bar mitzvah boys do things, they're only mitzvah. What's the kid doing? Regular bar mitzvah. The kid's going to lay in Parshas Mishpatim. So Kriyas HaTorah is, we assume, is only mitzvah. Even Shabbos and Yantam is probably only mitzvah. So we let the kid lay. The kid gets after her. The kid's down for the yom. The kid leads them as a woman. What do kids do? They don't do too much of the bar mitzvah. Gives a drasha. Gives makes a zik. What does he do? He dances. So those are all dinim derabbanan. So he can do whatever he wants. But when it comes to dinim deraisa, we get very, very weary. So that's what many poskim have to practice, that if it happens to be this bar mitzvah, Parshas Zohar, so the kid who just turned by mitzvah shouldn't really be the Balkeri. It's not right that he should be the Balkeri, because since Taisus and the Rosh and Shulchan Aruch Paschals like them hold the Parshas Zohar is deraisa, so he has to be a mechuy b'davim deraisa. So if he's not technically a bar mitzvah in a Torah, even though he's 13 years old and he's down for the yomim and he's landing and doing everything else, but Kriyas Parshas Zohar shouldn't do. That's the practice in many shuls. Many shuls will have a setup when you have a bar mitzvah boy Parshas Zohar, so the bar mitzvah kid will lay the whole parsha, and then the father, the Balkeri, the rabbi, someone else will get up and lay in the maf there to be mitzi everybody else. Yedei Chavasim. We shouldn't have a chashash of the kids not technically halachli bar mitzvah min haTorah yet. Are there any other chumras that we have in Parshas Zohar above and beyond regular Kriyas HaTorah? So there's a practice that exists in some places in Eretz Yisrael. It's a fairly new practice that some places are very nervous. In Eretz Yisrael, you have a psahajpash, you have a shul of different havarot. So in any given minyan, you can have 20 different people. You know, in Europe, you never had this. In Europe, all the Hungarians, the Hungarians, and all the Litvaks, all the Yekis, all the Yekis. So everyone spoke the same way. Today in Eretz Yisrael, you have a total chaos. You have one minyan. You have a guy from Morocco, from Tunisia, a guy from Yemen, and a guy from Poland and a guy from Eretz Yisrael and a guy from Germany. 15 different Havarot, all in the same minyan. So there was a minyan in some place in Eretz Yisrael that from Parsha Zohar, we want to be Yitzhak Holiday. So we have 15 different Balkaris. Everybody gets up in lanes, Parsha Zohar, Nachum, one after another, Langa, Parsha Zohar. So the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, that became a very prevalent minyan. So the truth is that the whole minyan is probably not correct, Bechlal. That Rav Moshe Sternbach laughs at the minyan. He says, I've never heard of such a minyan. He says, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Rav Moshe Feinstein also writes in Igus Moshe. He writes in a different context, but according to Rav Moshe writes, the minhag is not necessary. Rav Moshe writes, there is no official Lashon HaKodesh, in the sense of that my way of speaking Lashon HaKodesh is right and yours is wrong. So the Tunisian and the Moroccan and the Galatiana, they're all considered to be Lashon HaKodesh. Anything that there's a group of Klal Yisrael that speaks and pronounces letters in this way, whether it's an oy and o and e and whatever, ah and ow, it's all the same thing. That there was no official havara that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasina. It's got to sound exactly like the Moroccan. It's exactly like the Temanim. There was no such halacha. That as long as it's recognizable as Lashon HaKodesh, you hear anybody Zohar, Zachar, Zachir, it's all the same thing. And with the Raisa, all the Shanim are good. Moshe Zerai, he says by Chalitza, there's a din that you have to say the Parshas HaChalitza, it has to be said Davkin Lashon HaKodesh. So he says we had people in Europe who did chalitzas, we never heard that we do chalitzas with the Yekesh pronunciation, and then with Hungarian pronunciation, then the Litvish, the Hasidim, everyone's doing different chalitzas. He says, nobody ever heard of doing Pash chalitza 15 times. He said, the one time you do Pash chalitza, it's good, l'choladeus. So that's the way Mishtomach was a super, Moshe was a way. That's the Ikra din, that one doesn't have to don't drive himself nuts to hear the Pasha Zohar and the Havara that he's used to. But the yeshivas that became part of the Pasha Zohar protocol, that most know, you guys probably all heard this in the yeshivas, right? A lot of the yeshivas do in Eretz Yisrael again. So it's a very, very new idea. We never did in Bergen before, we never did it. We just, the regular book ever gets up in lanes Pasha Zohar and showed. So one year we had a Simcha Pasha Zohar. And there was a whole group of Temanim who were here from part of the Simcha. So they asked me after davening was over, would I mind if they take the Sefer Torah out and they lay in the Havara of Temanim Pasha Zohar? So Gesundheit, do whatever you want. Not for the Ashkenazi women, for themselves. So Gesundheit. So one of the fellows got up and he lay, but when they tell my name, they lay with the Targum also. They say the Pasuk, then they say the Targum, they lay the Pasuk, they say the Targum. So that's what he did. So I heard Pasha Zohar and Lafi, Nahu Havarat Teman with the Targum, with the whole nine yards. Even Kabyal didn't do the Targum. It was the only time I'm sure we ever read the Targum Unkelos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Okay. Anyway, back to that story. So bottom line is the whole deraisa Pasha Zohar is a little bit shaky, but it does say it in Shulchan Aruch, so therefore we try as best as we can to follow whatever shape or form that means. So we move on to Kriyas HaMegillah. So Kriyas
What about repeating with Zecher,
Zecher? Yeah, there are different opinions about this. So there's some place that never heard of this thing. They just read it the way Zecher, Malach, and Shoin. And there are those who follow the practice to repeat it. So within the practice of repeating it, so there are Yesh, Yesh. Some repeat just that phrase. Some repeat the entire pasuk. So we mechri, and actually we laid the whole pasuk over again. Why not? Makes it more dramatic. But Yesh, Yesh. Okay. So we get to Kriyas HaMegillah. So first the mitzvah of Purim. So Purim has a lot of mitzvahs to them. So all the mitzvahs of Purim are derived from the same pasuk. And Yom Ha'in Nisgorim Benasim. So Nisgorim means the Zechira, which refers to Kriyas HaMegillah. Benasim refers to all the mitzvahs Asiyah that are delineated in the Megillah, the Suda and the Shalachmanis and the Talas of Yainim. So we'll start with Nisgorim. Nisgorim comes before Nasim. So we'll talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So Kriyas HaMegillah is a strange kind of mitzvah because it falls right between the cracks in terms of defining what degree of a mitzvah is. Most mitzvahs are very easily defined. Either the mitzvahs derais, the mitzvahs derabon. Everybody knows the chilas matzah is the mitzvah derais, the kishof is the mitzvah deraisa, and lighting chanukah candles and the tefillah sedayim are mitzvahs derabon. Some mitzvahs are very, very clear. So Kriyas HaMegillah is a little bit funny because it's not in Chumash, obviously, but it does appear in Kisvei HaKadosh. It appears in the Vimuksub. It appears in Ksub because that's part of the Kisvei HaKadosh. So as such, there was a whole group of poskim who raised a question. Maybe we should apply a principle called Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Torah Damin. Now the Gemara has that phrase in a totally different context in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah called Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Torah. Divrei Kabbalah has nothing to do with Zohar. Divrei Kabbalah means Nevi Muksub, Makor by Chazal, Divrei Kabbalah. So Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Torah Damin, maybe it means that we have to treat and elevate Kriyas HaMegillah to the status of being like a mitzvah d'oraisa. That would have a lot of chumras to it. That would impact on Sveikis, that would impact perhaps on the Zbana Kriya, that would impact perhaps who can be Kari the Kriya Megillah. So is there such a concept that all called Kriya Megillah being in their right? So the Yesh for Yesh. So there are three different opinions in the place. Three different opinions, either yes or no. So there are three different possibilities. So there are some who never heard of this whole thing. The whole Kriya Megillah, lock, stack, and battle is all with the Rabbanan. It's governed by the regular rules of the Rabbanan. That's what the Ran writes at the beginning of Masechet Megillah. The Ran is talking about if you have a city that it's Suffolk, Mukefes Chaimah, you're not sure whether it's a Yadalat city or a Tezvav city. So the Gemara says, Megillah Dafei, you lay on both days. So the Ran writes, that's just the Midas Chasidus. That's not really what the Din is. That was it. Amoraim had a practice as a Hiddur to lay on both days, but the Ran writes, you don't really have to lay on both days. Why? For two reasons, the Ran writes. First of all, Rov cities are not Mukefes Chaimah. And number two, he says, even if it would be a Suffolk Ashokal, it's still a Suffolk Jabban Lakuli. You don't have to be Machber. So Suffolk Jabban Lakuli, you lay the first day and you're done, you're finished. You don't have to lay any after that. So the Ran clearly, by applying the rule of Suffolk Derban Lakul to Kriyas Megillah, he's assuming that Kriyas Megillah is not governed by Dinim Deraita. We don't say Suffolk Kriyas Megillah L'chumra. So the Ran befavors that Kriyas Megillah is just a regular Derabban. But not withstanding the Ran, there are a lot of other poskim who claim that maybe it is. Maybe it is a mitzvah Deraita. Even within the world that it's a mitzvah Deraita, then there's a, like a mitzvah Deraita, it's treated all L'chumra as a Deraita. Then there's a further breakdown. Does that refer to both Kriyas at night and Kriya by day? Or maybe there's a split between the two? Why should we believe there's a split between the two? So if you look at the Megillah, all the mitzvahs are all bayom. Lasses some yomei mishnah v'simcha. The Gemara says the Megillah sudas purim has to be bayom and shalchmanas bayom and tarzav bayom. And the mishnah takam aseches Megillah that talks about kriyas Megillah also talks about bayom. All of a sudden, the Gemara in the first berakh of Megillah says chayav adam lukas Megillah b'layla gamkein. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Chayav adam lukas Megillah b'layla shenosa bayom. So the question is, what is the significance of that kriya b'layla? So there were a whole group of acharonim, the Nebihut and the Shekzari, who say that what the Gemara means is as follows, that the Iker Mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, as appears in Kisvei Kodesh of Tanakh, is Vayom Me'il Mizgor Menasim. The same way all the other mitzvahs Hayom Adafka Vayom Vlo Balayla, so too Kriyas Megillah is on a Vayom Vlo Balayla. There was a Takonas Chachamim as a Mitzvah to Rabban, who made the Takona, to figure out who made the Takona. Somebody made the Takona called Chayvan Likras Megillah Balayla as well. Chazal, for whatever reason, they wanted to add on another dimension of Kriyas Megillah, that the Kriyas Megillah should be repeated at night as well. But in terms of, is that the mitzvah of the Megillah proper? Is that the mitzvah of Kisvei Kodesh of Tanakh? No. That's what the Nebuda and the Shagasai both say they have a diuk in the Tosfos like that, because Tosfos writes at the beginning of Maseches Megillah that when you say Shechiyanu on the night of Kriyas Megillah, then you say it again in the daytime. So Tosfos writes, it's the same mitzvah. I just did the mitzvah 10 hours before. I want to make a second Shechiyanu for. So Tosfos writes, because the Kriyas Megillah Bayom is the Adifa. That's the Ika Kriyasa. So what does it mean, Kriya? What does it mean, it's Ika Kriyasa? So the Acharim say, what Tosfos is driving at, the Rebbe Tam is driving at, is this idea that Kriya Balayla is one low, it's a low level mitzvah called the mitzvah Derabba. That's like Neris Chanukah. The mitzvah Bayom is the higher level. And others say that if this idea is true, that the Dibbukh of the Beit HaRed Ami, so then maybe the Kriya by night is also, who says? I don't know. Maybe not like that. Maybe the Kriya by Laila is also considered to be a Kriya D'Araisa. There are other Rishonim who say you say Shechiyonu for other reasons. Rutenberg says you say Shechiyonu because of the Mitzvah Sayom, because of the Shechiyonu of Kriyas Megillah is not even really going on the Kriyas Megillah. It's going on the Shalach Manas, the Sud, the Mitzvah Savionim. And Fakevi Idachki, so the Ram says, Yitaka, don't make a Shechiyonu by Yom. So it's hard to tell from the Shechiyonu one way or the other. So the bottom line is there are three possibilities in the Poskim, that either the whole thing is all the Rabbanan, or it's not the both their eyes, or the split between the two. My Nafkamin Ladin, the other day, my Nafkamin, so one of the real Nafkamin is the notion of the Katan. Of the child, namely the kid who just turned by mitzvah. So the Mishnah says in Megillah that you can't be yet to Kriyas Megillah from a katan. So let's say the kid just turned by mitzvah. His bar mitzvah was yesterday. This is his bar mitzvah parashah. He wants to lay in the Megillah. So can he do that or not? So some poskim say, yeah, why not? According to the Ran, what's the big deal? If he can lay in parashah mishpat, we can lay in the Kriyas Megillah also. But the Rabbanim, we rely on chazak of the Rava. And others say, no, he should not be the bakari bichlal. And others split between the two. Others say that the night kriya can be the bakari, and the day kriya he should not be the bakari. That's the practice. A lot of shuls have that. A lot of shuls have had bar mitzvah boys laying Kriyas Megillah by night, and then they will refrain from laying them later in the daytime. When we speak about this idea, this chumra, that lagabe derais, a quasi derais, not let little kids do it, at what age do you say the kid can do it? Say he's 13. Now he's 13 in a month, 13 in 6 months. At what point? So the poskim came right. When you see the kid's already shaving, the kid's already has enough face, you know, whether he's shaving or not shaving, but whether it's chassidish or b'snach, whatever it is, but you see that it's grown already, begins with a beard, so then you know a Raya Brewer that he already has a Basiris Milmata as well. So until that point, if he's just 13, 14, it's probably not such a great idea that he should be the Balkar for Bashar Zohar, or maybe even after Kriyas Megillah.
Can you say what can you do
Yeah, it's a further shot. It's like a Gita B'Yarbam Kiecha. Can the kid be made of the place with a whole shot about that? About can the kid come forward and say, I'm telling you, I want to be the Baal Togeh. I'm telling you, I have Beis Iris. He knows that I have Beis Iris. So can you believe him? He's only believed because he's a Gadol. But we're not sure that he's a Gadol. So you can spend the rest of your life trying to figure out whether you believe him. I'm trying to, so okay, we'll stop here. We'll mention it next week.